Well, like we said, they play, they win, they play, they win.
They sure do.
Every day winning.
Every day winning.
And it's just, you know, whether it's a Duggar homer or whether it's DeSclafani and four relievers.
How about a Yaz triple?
How about a Yaz triple? It's just, how about a Lamont Wade going to play first base?
Yeah, that was cool.
Everything's humming for the 23-14 Giants who stay in first place and go at it again today. Right back at it with Kevin Gausman. I mean, you're giving the ball to your ace at 335 against former Giant Tyler Anderson. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. All this stuff to talk about with Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line. Mike, happy Friday morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm happy. It's a happy Friday.
Yeah, I know, man. It's just
that game last night made me happy. It was it was so much fun to watch. And, you know, you're going in, you we're getting all the texts from Mike Passanisi, who's the PR guy with the Giants, who's with the club right now. And so you're kind of putting it together. Crawford didn't feel well because he'd had a shot, his second shot, so he was feeling some COVID effect to the shot. And then Belt, who was originally in the lineup, got scratched because of some tightness in his side. And you're thinking, man, how are they going to put this together? And then you saw the lineup, and, you know, Lamont Wade over at first base, and, you know, you had Mauricio Dubon at short, and so you feel like, okay, here's an opportunity to pee the bed defensively. And they shined. They shined. The thing that, look, I guess you get kind of a skewed opinion from me because I'm an old pitcher, but I love defense. When I was pitching, I would like to get the most defensive team behind me, even if it's sacrificed offense. I wanted some people to catch the ball. And I thought Lamont Wade over first base made the play of the game. There was a ground ball to third base, and Evan Longoria picked it up all the time. The world threw it, and he just threw this nasty one-hop. And if the play doesn't get made, that inning starts to go weird against him.
Right.
And Lamont Wade picked this thing clean. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10 of difficulty, it was up there in the high eights, maybe the low nines. That's how hard the pick was on the short hop. He makes that play.
Yeah.
And Mauricio Dubon picks it clean. The whole game was a clean game. And I just love that about this team. The fact that they can play, they have so many guys that can play different positions. They can represent themselves with the gloves. I think it's so important with this club and their success.
I mean, who knew Lamont Wade would be out at first base last night? I mean, that's just what Farhan has built in Gabe, and is just the versatile. They're building their identity. We're watching this identity play out right in front of us here, and as you mentioned, just no errors last night is the deal. And by the way, just kind of, there's a lot of things to talk about, but I'm just looking at the box score, and I'm just kind of just marveling at how Mike Tauchman has just become an absolute regular mainstay.
Oh, yeah.
Part of this lineup, Mike. I mean, I know there's a lot of things to talk about, and we will, but I was just looking at the box score, and I wanted to say this. Yeah, you know, 1-for-5, scored a run last night, but you're pretty much an everyday dude, Mike.
Yeah, I like him in there, and I think one of the significant things he did in his 1-for-5 night, he saw a ton of pitches, and I think that's so important. Guys who are in the top of the lineup, that they're able to see pitches. Get you know, I mean, I think he had, I don't know how many pitches he had, but they were a lot. I think he had 17 pitches in his first two at-bats. Yeah, I can't begin to explain how that wears on the guy on the mound. Because you know, if you have a guy who's leading off and he's getting 17 pitches out of you, you know, it's setting it up for a big inning, because then you get to the next guy. And now here comes the beef, and now you're throwing close to 20 pitches. And that's when you make mistakes. And now you're set up to make mistakes in the middle of the lineup. So the importance of a leadoff hitter who can grind and get pitches out of you is enormous. And that's what he does. And that's what the Giants do. They see more pitches than any other team in baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that's one huge part of their success. They get starting pitchers out of the game. They get into bullpens early. And that's significant when you take one of your best arms on your team and get him out early. I mean, even if you get out an inning or two outs early because of pitch count, that determines who comes out. I mean, you've done your job. You've set yourself up for opportunity. And Tauchman, I mean, he's really good at that.
It's incredible. And you bring up this point that's been written about this week. Carey Crowley wrote about it. Farhan talked about it on KMBR with Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks. And that's this phrase that they were introducing in spring training called time of possession. It's so funny how You know, it's funny. Like, baseball's baseball. And, like, forever, it's, you know, you want to drive up pitch counts and you want to work at a nice pace. But they've now invented this thing called time of possession. And, you know, I don't know if you think it's, I don't know, kind of funny or silly or whatever or great. Or but I just love your thoughts on this idea of time of possession. For people who don't know, the Giants are saying there's two ways to do this. One, it's what Mike just talked about. Grind out at bats so that you work pitchers' pitch count up and keep them on the mound longer and get them frustrated. And B, when you're on the mound, do the opposite. Alex Wood, pound the zone and attack your plan. Now, Mike, it's easy to say it, right? But to do it is what they're you praise them for. They're actually executing this plan.
Well, I've always believed in that. I mean, that was my style when I pitched. I always liked to work quick because I wanted to engage my defense. I wanted them in the game. I wanted them on their toes. I wanted them alert. And the only way you do that is to throw strikes and work quick. That's the only way you can do that. It gives you the chance to have a quick inning, get them off the field. I mean, this was something that Bruce Bochy used to talk about all the time when he'd have guys that were slow workers and slow workers who didn't have great control. They are out there, and their 20-pitch inning felt like it was 40 minutes long. And you just can't do that to your defense. I mean, you have a game that plays 162 games, and for the most part, your star players in the infield, they're going to be there for the majority of time. And if you get them out there and you consistently put them into long innings, you're going to minimize your range of your defense. You're going to minimize their recovery time to come back and play to their maximum potential the next day. And in the end, you expose them to injury. So time of possession, I mean, somebody finally put a name on it. I think it's great. The fact that, you know, you never hear that in football or basketball, never hear it in baseball, but it's so true. And pitchers have everything to do with it. And that's and then on the flip side of that coin is having a lineup that has the discipline and the eye to be able to work counts. They can't have a fear of being able to hit in two strike counts. They have to be able to have a confidence that they can take pitches and put themselves in a hole and still be able to have a quality at bat. And I think another thing about those type of hitters is they use the whole field. And so those are qualities that this administration is looking for. Farhan, Scott Harris, that's what they want. You know, when you look at Gabe Kapler, I mean, he was kind of that kind of player. I mean, he was a defensive player. He didn't want to be on the field a long time, but he was also a guy that would grind you. So you have three guys at the helm who are looking for this style of player, this type of hitter, who is teaching the new young players who are coming into this organization that this is how we go about doing things. And they teach you how to do it. And they're applying this. So I think it's very significant. It's what the Dodgers have done for a long time. It's what the A's have done forever. And now the Giants are playing that style of baseball, and they're getting great results because of it.
They are, and they'll do it again tonight. As we said, Kevin Gausman on the Hill, 335, former Giant Tyler Anderson for the Pirates, a 235 pregame, of course, on KNBR, 104.5 and 680. A little bit on the bullpen work yesterday. We continue to talk about this young man, Camilo Doval, gets the hold yesterday. Just a thought, though, on giving up another home run. Listen, they win the game. It's a solo shot. If you can give them up, make them solo. But that is four homers in 9 1/3. Just wondering if that's a red flag at all to you, or do you say, hey, kid, you're up 3-0, pound the zone. If you give up a solo, no big.
Well, I mean, you got to be careful right now because, first of all, he's just trying to tread water. He is nowhere near the comfort zone. He gave up two hits yesterday. One was the home run, and the guy right behind him hit an opposite field bolt to left field. And that both pitches were off the fastball. So what I see right now is he doesn't have confidence in the fastball. He's afraid it's going to get hit. And that's the big leagues. Big leagues will hit fastballs that are predictable to movement and are in poor location in the strike zone. And that was the case in both instances with Doval. What you have to be careful with is that as he's trying to tread water and he's trying to get established and he's trying to gain confidence, you can't start throwing a bunch of things at him. You have to hand one thing to him to think about, and that may be changing the grip on the fastball. You're throwing everything with a four-seam grip right now. Well, here's another way where you can grip the baseball, and you'll get different movement. And in essence, at that type of velocity, you're getting another pitch. But this is one of the things that's really I think guys are disadvantaged in this generation because so many of these pitchers have never taken at bats. They've been DH'd and they've been in the bullpen, or, you know, they've been on the mound. They've never hit. When you hit and you have a guy throwing 99, the first time you stand in there against it, you realize this is a different world up here. When you take and adjust and change grips on that high arm velocity, throw a two-seamer and a four-seamer fastball, unless you've seen it, you don't fully appreciate what the difference between those pitches are. And you're not that crazy about going to another grip because you look up and the two-seam fastball's 3 miles per hour slower than your 99. Because your mindset is, I just want to throw a high velocity. That's what got me to the big leagues. That's what's going to keep me here. But as he goes forth, I think he's going to have to go to another grip on the fastball. And somewhere along the line, he's going to have to come up with another speed, another, whether it be a changeup, a circle change, or a split. I think this is where his area of growth is going to go. Because right now, he's a two-pitch guy. And if he's not getting that slider over, he's got to throw the fastball. And if the fastball is getting hit, he's got to go back to the slider. So if you're hitting off him, you pretty much know what's coming, just based on what what he's getting over the plate and what's getting hit hard. So that's how he has to grow. I love his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got some presence out there, although it's a little rattled right now. But I still don't mind it every time he comes in. But I do wish he'd throw some more fastballs.
Okay, good stuff. Good pitching insight there on Camilo Doval. Obviously, a bright young arm who's learning his way here. Giants get the win 3-1 despite him giving up the solo homer. What do you say about Tyler Rogers?
Oh my
God. We have Tyler
Rogers
coming on today at 9, Mike. Yeah. And I know this is a bummer, this whole COVID thing. You haven't had a chance to really get to see these guys around the batting cage or on, you know, whatever, airplanes or whatever. But he just seems like he's such a great story. We've talked about it through the years, the free Tyler Rogers they used to joke in spring training. And Mike, he just keeps doing it night after night. He did it again.
They had no chance last night with him.
Well, I you think about what happened in last night's ball game, and I know this is by design, and just a little subtlety as to how you present Tyler Rogers. You know, he comes in after watching Camilo Doval, right? Throw out 99, throw 100 miles an hour. Then the next thing you see is Rogers coming in there, and he's throwing 80 from down under. And you know the other thing, too, is you notice what shoes he wears when he goes out there.
Yeah, I know.
He wears white shoes.
He wears white shoes
on the road. He wears white shoes at home. He's the only guy that does that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And think about it. Where's his release point?
That's a great point.
His shoes.
Great point.
Yes. So you're sitting in that batter's box, and you're seeing three blobs of white coming at you.
That's a great call.
It gives you a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
And you don't get that if you haven't been around a while, which is one of the really great things about Rogers. He pitched 7 years in the minor leagues. You learn a lot of stuff about how to create an advantage and an edge, and I just think the Giants are exploiting that and using them in such a cool way. So, no, I don't think that the Pirates had a chance in last night's ball game, and I think that the way that Doval pitched the inning before and then you presented Rogers with those balloons after you saw 99, that had everything to do with it.
It's so great. What the workload is the question. You know, he's getting used in heavy usage, but is it, as a submariner, does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, his arm's fine.
Yeah.
Problem with a submariner, and, you know, you take a look at him, he's so perfectly built to be a submarine guy. They got to be long and lanky, and they got to be built like Earthworm Jim. And he is. And they don't break down on the arm. They break down in the neck and in the lower back, the knee. You know, but the arm, Kent Tecovy, who was the closer with the Pirates in 1979, he was down there.
Yeah.
And, he was the original Earthworm Jim. In fact, he looked like Earthworm Jim.
Yes.
And I saw him years later when he was. We were in Pittsburgh. I said, "How's your arm?" He goes, "My arm feels great." He goes, "It's the other 95% of me that hurts.
Everything else, right."
Exactly. Yeah. But that's kind of what they break down. But you know, there's no reason to believe that Tyler Rogers can't pitch like that till he's 40.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, I'm looking at the stats. He gives up incredibly few what they call barrels, just, you know, got hard hit balls, or, you know, what we used to just see with our eyes, they now can quantify. He just misses barrels. And there's this quote from Kevin Gausman about, he said this in April, that rising slider, he said, one day you're going to hit a left-handed hitter in the face and he's going to have swung at the pitch.
That's right. That absolutely could happen. Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got that balloon rising curveball that is funky. And, you know, guys absolutely could do that. And by the way, if they swing and miss, strike three. See you later. Yeah. Go sit down and get your ice bag.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, get your ice bag. Grab some ice meat. There it is, right? So that's pretty good.
Exactly.
Oh, man. The Steven Duggar story continues. We've talked about him a lot with you last week or so, Mike. But for him to hit his first home run in 2 years.
That was great.
Was pretty special, huh?
Yeah, you know, and this is something we've been watching get put together. You know, we saw him completely lose his confidence as an athlete. And, you know, here's a guy who's a gifted defensive player, but the confidence level was so low because of what he was not able to do at the plate that it was actually affecting his defensive game. You're out there, and he's so bummed out about not having great at-bats that he's not concentrating fully as a defensive player, and you can see it. Mm. Well, he's back. I mean, he's got his mojo back. He's got his confidence back. And, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder now. It's like, I'm going to tell everybody that I'm good. I'm going to let you see that I'm good. And now that, you know, his swings are back and he's getting better ABs, he's using left field, he's got a little pop, he's seeing more pitches, he's grinding, his defense is off the charts again. This is a confident player, and it's really good to see because, you know, he's one of those guys who's soft-spoken, he's a gentleman, and he burns deep. You know, a lot of times, you know, he doesn't, you know, he keeps a lot of his emotions in, but you know that he's loving this moment, and we're all happy for him because, you know, he's a good player right now.
No, you're right, and it's a good story. And Paul, did you ever see the college baseball movie that came out in the last few years by Richard Linklater called Everybody Wants Some, Mike?
I never saw it.
Oh, I think you'd like it.
I do, too.
It's So Richard Linklater, a very skilled filmmaker, has made Dazed and Confused and Before Sunrise and all these other movies. And
he's a great filmmaker.
He played college baseball in Texas, and he made a movie about a 1980 college baseball team. It's a little raunchy now, Mike, a little raunchy, but funny in the old days, funny, you know. But anyway, it's just about a bunch of college baseball kids chasing the dream and being college kids, and it's kind of a little profile of some of the grinders that you meet and some of the
personality
characters.
Types, right.
Duggar reminds us of a guy from that movie. Just like a little Southern guy, just there to play ball and, you know, do his thing and just wants to play baseball, right?
And be raunchy.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just rated R. Just, you know, if you're thinking of showing it to the 11-year-old kid, maybe wait a couple years. Right. That's all, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'll sit on that for a while.
Your grandson.
I do have a 10-year-old who's a ball player, and I don't know if he's quite ready for raunchy.
Maybe Jennifer would get a chuckle out of it. I don't know. She's been around a ball player all her life. She knows the deal, right? So, but anyway, just Duggar reminds us of that guy. Just a little bit big picture before we let you go on the, you know, they're saying Solano might come back on this road trip, which means they'd have to send somebody down. Susan Slusser speculates it would be either Wade or Duggar, the aforementioned Duggar. She also talks about this belt, you know, muscle soreness and all that. And they say, Kaplan says, we'll be aggressive about shortening or limiting the volume of reps outside of what we do during in-game. So, like, it's going to become maybe a storyline going forward of the older players who are playing well taking care of them, Mike.
Well, I think that's the key this whole season. I mean, that is the key. And that's why these wins without some of your older guys are so significant. You took out Crawford, Belt, Solano's, Dickerson. I mean, these guys, they were not in that game last night, yet it was a clean defensive game. It was a game that there was really good at-bats up and down the lineup. I mean, the only casualty really was Wade last night, who had a sombrero. He struck out four times in four at-bats. But they're winning these games without their frontliners. And I think that stands out right now. And I think what that says about your clubhouse is that there's expectation and you have a winning culture. So that guys who are coming in and they're replacing Posey, who's getting a day off, or Crawford, who's getting a day, or Longoria, who's getting a day, they're expected to contribute. They're expected to make a difference, not with the bat alone, but with the glove, regardless of where they're played. And that becomes a very quiet strength of your club, and I think it's happening right now. So as you go forward, I think that is going to be the key. You protect your older guys. And if you can do that, and they've done it, I think Gabe Kapler has been outstanding that in that regard. You're going to have a team that's fresh, and we're talking about August, September, and hopefully October.
Yeah, this is going to be sort of the strategy going forward now, how he plays it, how he handles this. This is the art of managing there. And finally, Mike, the last one is they're 85%. They reached it. And now we can see Gabe's handsome face, right?
That is so cool. They showed one picture last night on TV, and there's like five or six coaches standing there together, and I didn't know any of them.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly. Who are these guys?
Who's that guy? Oh, that's a guy's been here a year and a half. Yeah. You don't know that guy? No, I don't.
No.
So I think it's a very cool moment. And although I'm still concerned around baseball, it's still, you know, COVID's still wagging its ugly tail. So we're getting closer, but it did feel good to see them all without their masks.
I know it did. All right, Mike, we'll watch a mask-free weekend. Try not to maybe show too many raunchy movies around the house. But we'll watch the Giants play three games, Gausman, Cueto, and Wood, and we will talk to you about them Monday morning.
Good a bit.
Mike Kruko, as the Giants keep winning, you are listening to the KNBR Morning Show on KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. The power hour's off and running. The Giants are off and winning. The Warriors have a huge game coming Sunday.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.